You're listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 14, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang. Welcome back from Labor Day weekend and the traditional end of summer. I hope you had a great one, and would love to hear what you learned and what you experienced over the past 3 months. And here at Social Media Church, we just launched this podcast this summer, so we've learned quite a bit in 13 episodes of hosting this weekly podcast. And last week, we took a week off, and our numbers slowly grow over time, and that's kind of our approach to how we will do our online engagement with you, our listeners. And thank you for spreading the word and sharing on Twitter and Facebook and whatever social media channel you prefer to tell your colleagues and friends about what we're doing here. And we really want to invite your conversation to be a part of this. So click on our buttons there at socialmediachurch.net and send us a tweet or Facebook or add a comment on any of our previous episode and certainly this episode as you're listening here with me. On this episode, we'll be talking with Alan George, who is the Internet Campus Pastor at lifechurch.tv. He is the second Internet Campus Pastor there. Previously, on an earlier episode of Social Media Church, episode number 10, we heard from Brandon Donaldson, who was the first Internet Campus Pastor at lifechurch.tv, which launched their online worship services back in April of 2006. Can you believe that? Over 6 years ago. And a lot has happened since in terms of how they've grown and developed their online worship services. Now they run close to 50-some of them on the internet as well as in Second Life. And I just looked over there at lifechurch.tv. They also provide online worship over in Roku. Those of you that have streaming video service through that magical little box connected to your television or HD set. And on this episode, we hear from Alan George, their second Internet Campus Pastor, and he really exudes a lot of passion. I really enjoyed this conversation, just getting to hear from him, not just what's happening, but his pastoral heart and how he sees technology as a means for doing that. What's wonderful about this conversation is you'll hear how someone who's not all that techie and social media all over the place, learning to become an Internet Campus Pastor and finding it, the big surprise is it wasn't all that different. That pastoring in person and offline is not all that different from pastoring online through the internet and through social media. So you've got to hear that. You've got to hear his backstory of how God's worked in his life over these years, and now he's playing a vital part of the internet and digerati strategies there at lifechurch.tv. You'll also hear about how lifechurch.tv really leverages and mobilizes and coordinates a lot of volunteers for all their ministries offline and on their physical campuses as well as their online campuses, coordinating a team of volunteers located in different places, and then a few things that they're exploring for the future. You'll get to hear a little bit of that and what the Digerati team, of which the Internet Campus is a part of, some of the other new initiatives that are rolling out. And then on the other side, I'll mention a few more of those and then wrap up this episode. So let's switch over to my conversation with Alan George, the Internet Campus Pastor of lifechurch.tv. Great. So let's talk a bit about your role at Life Church and sure. How you got there.
We were attending Life Church, and I used to work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and I kind of was climbing up the corporate chain and corporate ladder when God kind of put it on our heart and said, do you trust me enough to quit your job and come and work for me? Mm-hmm. And my response was, no, I don't. Why would you even ask me that? How am I going to pay my bills? And, you know, God just began speaking to us and we took a step of faith. And so I left my job and got into full-time ministry. And so I would travel and preach and did a couple of international things. And while all that was going on, my daughter, who was just born, she was very young. This was back in 2008. She was, well, let me step back. I've been involved in ministry ever since I got saved. I'm a pastor's kid. I mean, ministry was just part of my world, but never full-time. And so from 08 onwards, it was full-time. And my daughter was very young, and I was not a big fan of traveling, and I hated staying away from the family. And I had a friend of mine who was working for Life Church. And so he said, I know you have a heart for ministry. Have you ever considered working for a church? And I was like, no, because it was very different from the Indian churches that we grew up with. And so he kind of introduced me to the behind the scenes, like the work side of the church. And I was like, wow, I didn't know all this was happening. And so I said, well, I don't have any theological training or anything like that. And they're like, well, great. We're looking for people who don't. We're looking for people who have business background. And I was like, wow, I never thought of that. And it really opened up my mind. And so I applied for a couple of roles and, you know, got through the interview process. And one of my first roles was actually a children's pastor at our South Oklahoma City campus. The funny part was I've never worked with kids before. And so my first response was children's pastor. Okay. I'm not even good with my own kids. Are you sure you want me to do this? And it was great. I mean, we prayed about it, and God, just one confirmation after the other, said, yes, this is where I want you to be. And so I started off at our South Oklahoma City campus as children's pastor. And as time went by, we had some of the leadership come and ask me, you know, hey, have you seen church online? And I was like, yeah, I've seen church online. I'm not much of a technology person. I love my toys, but I don't live in that world. And so I said, well, I got to do a little bit more research. And so we kept talking, and they said, well, would you be interested in joining the team? And I was like, why do you guys do this to me? Why do you guys, first, it's, why do you surprise these things? You know, so it was interesting. And I said, okay, now this one I've really got to pray about, because it's a new world. Mm-hmm. And I remember about 11, in 2001, when I had gotten saved, God had put this vision in my heart. Mm-hmm. And the vision was he showed me the globe. And I said, okay, I see the globe. And I mean, for me, talking to God is just like that. It's like, okay, God, I see the globe. What are you trying to tell me? Uh-huh. And he said, do you know that I've called you to the world? And I was like, yeah, you've called everybody to the world. I mean, you know, what's so special about this? And he just started placing a burden of reaching the world with the truth of the gospel. And I was like, okay. And so as the years went by, the models I knew were, okay, let's go to one country, set up shop, and, you know, let's go to another country. And it'll probably take 50 or 60 or 70 years for us to maybe hit a few countries. Mm-hmm. But the world was always in the back of my heart. And so when I took this church online and this world, you know, and I took it to God, and I said, God, what's going on? And he reminded me of this vision. And he said, remember how I told you about this, and you had these plans about, well, it'll take a couple of years for this country and that country. At the click of a button, and it was almost like a picture. He said, at the click of a button, you can reach the world. Mm. And that just stopped me in my tracks. And I was like, I need to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And I ran up to the leadership, and I was like, what do I need to do? Because I mean, I need to be a part of this. And so that's kind of how that journey started. So it's actually been last August was when I joined the Church Online team. Mm-hmm. And it's been a phenomenal ride, phenomenal journey. Seeing God, I mean, for us to be able to walk into someone's house in a different country where we probably don't even have access to, you know, fly into that country, we can show up in their living room or bedroom or office with the gospel and share with them the love of Christ. I mean, to me, that's just that's one of the things that just drew me to Church Online.
Yeah, you're literally going door to door, but the doors are actually open.
Yes.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
And so we're just coming off the Olympics.
Yeah.
And so there's a relay race here in your story as Life Church. And so you've had a baton handed off from Brandon Donaldson, who we featured here on Social Media Church a couple episodes back. And he launched and built up this Church Online platform along with a great team.
Yeah.
And handed it to you. So describe a bit of how that baton handoff went.
Sounds
like you had a few months to work that out.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, Brandon's done. I mean, he started this baby. I mean, it's his, and we've seen just tremendous growth. I feel like I'm standing on his shoulders, and the amount of work and energy and just insight that that the previous team had put into is phenomenal. The part where I walked into was they had it in their mind that they wanted to release the platform, but we were still working out some quirks and things like that. And me and Brandon are wired the exact opposite, and so it was great to work with him, because he's, you know, we talked about, well, I can bring this, and I was like, well, I can bring this part. And so that was, I walked into in August, and in December is when we launched, January is when we launched the Church Online platform. So those last couple of months, it was, what do we need to do to ramp up what we're doing with the platform and get all of that? And it helped me just learn more about what we're doing as a team. Social media, I mean, I used it, but I'm not a blogger. That was a new world to me. So it was getting acclimated. It was getting used to that world. So we launched the platform. And it was during that time, the plan was that Brandon would stay. And God just began dealing in his heart that, hey, I want you to move. And he was like, all right, where should I go? And so now he's part of the Network Church team, and he's working with newer pastors, you know, launch teams, like church plants, new church plants. And so he's working with certain sizes, you know, whether it's 200 and more or 300 more, something like that. And so God's just placed him in a great place right now. And with Church Online, he had worked very closely with a lot of the Network Church pastors, so that transition just seemed great. So right now, that's where he's at. And it was like 3 weeks ago or something, I just ran downstairs and I was like, dude, did you guys ever deal with this? You know, I mean, I love that he's there, because he's got 5 years of history that I can tap into at any point. I don't have to make the same mistakes they made. And so he's right there. So that's a huge advantage and a huge blessing for us. And so, yeah, it's been quite a journey for their family and for ours.
Yeah, wow. I have so many questions I want to ask you, but I want to respect your time and maybe
sure.
Save it for a future.
I get long-winded. I get long-winded, so stop me.
No, this is great for content. No, so you're a perfect example of our listeners here at Social Media Church, some that are already doing online church and some that are exploring it, see the opportunity, but really don't know how to get there. Uh-huh. So you're someone who is comfortable in the physical world, a normal
Yes.
person,
yes.
And then you've had to learn to step into and engage and live into this social media world. And I don't know if you're still running Second Life as part of Church
Second
Online.
Yes, it's still there. Yeah.
So, I mean, what were some of your biggest learnings or hurdles you had to jump over to feel more acclimated?
Well, the first thing was I didn't realize how I thought I was new to this world, but in reality, I wasn't. You know, my mom lives in India, and, you know, we Skype, like, all the time for her to see the grandkids and things like that. So that's normal. You know, social media, connecting with different family members and all of that. Like, I think I was already there, but I never connected the two. You know, I was like, wait, I thought church, wait. You know, and that was where I struggled. I thought that I was... this was a new world, but in reality, I mean, this is part of the world that we live in today.
That's great.
My wife and I, before we got married, for 2 years, I lived in Bahrain and she was here in Oklahoma. And it was purely emails, and we didn't have Skype or anything back then, but it was like Yahoo chat. And so that was how I got to know my wife. And so I understood already the power of relationships that can be built through social media or through online platforms.
Yes.
So that was one learning for me. And the second one was, I've been a pastor before, and I thought that you have to be a different kind of pastor. But the reality is, it's the same things that you would do in a brick and mortar campus or a church that you have to do online. You know, you would stand in the lobby and get to know your people. Here, you would stay online and get to know your people. You would pray with people in the lobby of your building. Here, you'd pray with people online, whether Skype or, you know, whatever, or Facebook or even email prayers. And so everything that I did as a pastor in the past were the same things that I did here, but I just did it using a different platform. So it shocked me as I dived more deeper into it that the principles remain the same. Still people. Yes. People want to be known, and they want to feel like somebody needs them or that they have value. And you do that in a brick and mortar campus, and you do it here at Church Online. And so while I expected it to be a huge shift, a mind shift, it really wasn't, because that's part of the world we live in today almost.
Wow, that's fantastic. I love how your pastoral heart is coming through even on this conversation, and that's really going to help other people to also have this aha moment. It's like, hey, this is just another way to more ways to connect with people and to pastor people and lead people to Christ.
And it was an aha moment for me. You know, there, you know, it's interesting how when I was part of part of the team where we were in a physical campus, and you could sense the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, I want you to talk to this person," or "I want you to pray for this person," and I would just say, "There, you know, talk to them, connect with them." I've sat here at my desk and I felt God putting it on my heart saying, "Call this person."
Amazing.
And I talked to this family actually before, when I heard that, it was like 2 weeks ago, I talked to them, and it was a husband and wife, and the husband was struggling with stage 4 cancer.
Wow.
And he was bedridden and he couldn't go to church, and so they would watch Church Online together. And so I remember calling her and I was like, "Hey, it's Alan, you know, Church Online pastor." She's like, oh my god, you're the guy on TV, and you know, she was getting excited. But we talked, I prayed for them, and 2 weeks later I felt in my heart God saying, "Call them." And I was like, "Okay." And so I called her and I said, "Hey, I was just checking up on you, and how's your husband doing?" And she's like, it's weird that you call me right now, because I just came back from my husband's funeral."
Wow.
"And I was wondering, does God know how much I'm struggling right now? And that's when you call me." And it broke my heart, because the same God that talks to us in a physical campus is talking to us in an online setting. I mean, he's God.
Yeah.
And I got to pray with her.
Yes.
So for me, this is, I mean, now there's more access to people. You're not limited by a physical location. You have more access to carry his word and to carry his heart to his people. So it's true. It was a great aha moment for me.
Wow. So let's talk more about this pastoral aspect of online church. You've got a whole team of staff and volunteer running 51 online worship experiences.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm guessing there's more down the pike that you're preparing for.
Uh-huh.
So how do you manage a virtual team of people?
Yeah.
Which is kind of another aspect that church leaders really wrestle with, is, you know, how do you pastor people online, and then how do you work with people that are in multiple locations all over the world?
Sure. God's blessed us with just an amazing group of people, especially on the staff here, Church Online staff team. I have two people who are actually remote employees, and so they work in Colorado Springs and in Alabama. And you know, that's been a learning experience for me too. How do we connect with staff members who live in a different part of the world or a different state? And then we have people here who are in-house. And then, of course, our volunteer team is spread across the board. Something I learned a long time ago with regards to leadership was, when you're building a team, find people who can do a better job than you can and hire them. And so I can say, you know, with a clear conscience, everybody on the team is better than me at what they're responsible for. And that's what I'm looking for. Because the way I work is, I might have an idea, or God might place something in my heart. And usually I just take it to them and say, here's what's in my heart. And they then take that and maximize that. And they also have the freedom to carry the vision and carry that strategy for that part of what they're responsible for. And so that seemed to work great for us. we have, they each have their own volunteer teams. They each have their own, you know, we're looking into interns. We haven't done it before. We've got our first intern this year. And so we're looking into building that. And we've realized that, you know, one of the things with Life Church as a whole is we have a very small, I don't know the exact number, but the ratio from attendees to staff people is very different compared to other churches that might be close to our size. Okay. And we rely heavily on volunteers. And so we're doing the same thing with Church Online. A lot of our key volunteers, and for example, we've got a extremely key volunteer called Rick Tawadros. He's based out of Philly. He handles all of what we call our response team. So we have a huge group of volunteers that deal with people who just got saved. Mm-hmm. We send them a Bible. We pray for them. Get them started in their first, you know, that walk with Christ.
Yes.
My staff member knows less than probably what the volunteer knows, because the volunteer, he just runs it. I mean, he's got ownership for it. And mm-hmm. what we do is we provide them with resources so that they can do what God's calling them to do. Mm-hmm. And so we realized a long time ago that the six of us, we can't figure it out. We can't stretch ourselves that much. But if we can get people to hold hands and come together, you see us creating more of a momentum. We get a greater reach. And God's just doing some great things in their life and in ours.
So talk a bit about the technology tools that you're using to stay connected over all those miles. I know for people that are more comfortable with just physical meetings, hey, it's nice to just walk downstairs to the next office and have a face-to-face conversation.
Uh-huh.
Well, how do you handle that?
Well, a couple of the things that we do is, you know, I have regular meetings with every person on my team. Once a week I have, and we use, you know, anywhere from Skype or GoToMeeting, anything like that. What we do is we have series here at Life Church. And so we plan for each series. Okay. And we use Basecamp. Okay. To put all of our projects together. And then if, you know, tasks, we assign all of that. And so we use that. Our YouVersion team that's just down the hall, they have started playing with this concept called Scrum. Scrum is almost a mindset on how you would do projects and things like that. And it's more for dev teams. But we're trying to incorporate some of those concepts just to what we do. And so we use things like Basecamp. I know the team uses Campfire. Okay. And they have been trying to get me on Campfire, and I'm fighting them at it just because I'd rather pick up the phone and call them. I'm a little bit more old school, but you know, they talk on Campfire. They were thinking about putting up we just got new offices, so we're thinking of putting up a camera in the other office where we have more the other team members in, just so the remote employees can kind of just see what everyone's doing. And so we don't know if it's going to be weird or not, but we're just going to try it. We do little things like, you know, if there's a birthday or something, we make sure, and this is not just Church Online, but it's Team Digerati. Make sure that, you know, we send them, you know, something, you know, whether it's chocolates or, you know, something like that. But we do whatever we can to make sure that they're included in the conversation. Okay. The hardest thing that we've struggled with is those water cooler conversations. Mm. You know, somebody might come to my office and say, oh, I've got an idea. And it's hard to halfway through to stop and dial the phone and say, hold on, we got to bring this person in. Yeah. But we try to do that. And it's weird for them too, but they appreciate that. Hey, I might be going through drive-through right now, but I'm glad you guys are, you know, pulling me in on this conversation. So mm-hmm. I've realized that we have to be intentional about it. Mm-hmm. It's not as easy as a team that's in one place. It's a lot more difficult, but being intentional, that just makes a difference.
Yeah. Some other working groups will use things like message boards or discussion threads. Is that a part of your culture where you have a place where ongoing conversations happen?
Basecamp is what we use.
Okay.
We have something called Open Mic. Now, Church Online is part of Team Digerati. Uh-huh. And so Digerati, we have something what we call Open Mic, and it's just, you know, people just share, you know, what scripture touched our heart this morning, or what's God been sharing with us, or is there a prayer request, or and YouVersion especially, we have few people here, but majority of them are all around. Uh-huh. We have people as far as south of France, I think. And so that's an easy way for us to just connect and, hey, this is what God's speaking to me in this verse, or I read this blog post, and people just comment underneath, right. And it just keeps going on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It makes us feel like a closer-knit family. So that's what we use for discussion boards kind of a thing.
Good to know that's there.
Yeah.
You mentioned Team Gujarati. You're probably you're the first church, and you're the only church that still has a Team Gujarati team. So what is that, and how does that work with Church Online?
Sure. Team Gujarati, we have Bobby Grunwald is our innovation pastor. And so under him, we have Gujarati, we have media design, we have different other things. But Terry Storch is the team leader for Gujarati. And he has under him Church Online. We have YouVersion. And we don't have a better name for it, but it's like the smaller Gujarati. And so the smaller Gujarati is responsible for things like church metrics or, let's see, my mind's going, Kazone.com.
Church teaching or video teaching was one.
Video teaching, yeah, Kazone.com. So anything that's got to do with the missional use of technology kind of falls under that. And we're right now in the process of restructuring that team, so we're some exciting stuff is coming out of that. Also, the Church Online platform is there.
Okay.
So anything that we can give away for free and do customer support on and all that is part of that team.
Oh, beautiful.
YouVersion is YouVersion, the Bible app that's also falls under Team Gujarati, and then Church Online. So it's the three of us that make the Gujarati team.
Oh, that catchphrase really caught my attention. The missional use of technology. Not only using it, you're also building it.
Yes, yes. Anything we want to, Church Online platform, when we released it, our goal was not to monopolize or say everybody needs to use this or anything like that. We realized that there are churches around the world that could use this technology but couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. And so if we can get them started, it's free. If we can get them started, then here you go. And maybe you might use it for a year and find something else better or something. That's great. But if we got you to get into this world of online ministry, then that to us is a success. So Church Metrics is a similar thing. We were using a software internally that helped us track salvations, attendance, baptisms, things like that. And people kept asking, what are you using? And so we're like, maybe churches can use it. So let's wrap it up, put a nice wrapper on it, and let's give it away for free. So our goal is the Big C Church. How can we support and how can we resource the Big C Church to do so that they can do what God's called them to do?
Wow, fantastic. Can you give us a hint of what is happening next at Church Online? And then I know Gujarati's probably got
a
little skunk work things too that you can't talk about.
I can't talk about YouVersion or Gujarati. They're very secretive. But I know things are coming up that they're planning on. For Church Online platform, I know my dev team will kill me for saying this, but we are planning on the next version coming out. And so it is exciting. We've learned so much from releasing this first one that, okay, what do we need to tweak? What do we need to change? We're their biggest customer, and so we tend to get the loudest, but they do a great job of connecting with the other churches. We have over 2,000 churches that have, signed up for Church Online platform. And so they're being very intentional about hearing their needs and what do they need. So that's definitely coming up. I am playing with the idea of what would it be. Right now, our services are maybe an hour or a little over an hour long. We're at this place where what would happen if we were to wipe the slate clean and start from scratch and start Church Online today? What would our service look like? What would an experience look like? Right now, we've set it up as, we've got two songs. You've got me, you've got Pastor Craig, and then you've got your clothes, just like a regular church service. But this is where my mind is going. When you look at the book of Acts, the way they did church then looks nothing like the way we do church today. And so the way we do church in a building, should Church Online copy that exact same thing because that's what people are used to? Or should we be more sensitive to our online world and what makes sense in an online world? And so we're not afraid of breaking the mold and starting from scratch. So some things might be coming up, and we're hoping it works. We're definitely looking for feedback.
Well, I'll give you one little piece. Maybe yes. You should check out Google Plus.
I'm hearing about Google Plus. I got people pushing me on that. So yes, it is on the list.
It was a thrill to chat with you.
And thank you.
You've got so much to share. I'm glad you're able to share it with passion and help our audience here at Social Media Church to get a glimpse of the missional use of technology. Yes. What a beautiful phrase. Thanks for the inspiration.
Thank you so much. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you, Pastor Alan George, for that great conversation about what you're doing there as a part of LifeChurch.tv. There's certainly a lot going on there. We'll put some links in the show notes at socialmediachurch.net under episode 14. Make sure you add a comment and click through the links of things that catch your attention. And over there at LifeChurch.tv with their Digirati team, they've got some great resources to equip you and your church. Certainly the one that's perhaps unarguably the most popular is YouVersion.com, their online and mobile Bible, which recently acquired a new domain name, and perhaps that will roll into a new branding kind of thing. So they are now taking new residence at Bible.com. Yes, they own Bible.com now, and that will become an integral part, I'm sure, over time. How fast? I don't know. I don't have the insider information on all that they're doing at Digirati team over there, but they definitely have a lot going on. Certainly YouVersion and Bible.com now has a lot that is reaching, perhaps coming up on 1 billion people, I would guess, as technology continues to grow and engage people here in America and all over the world, and multilingual, of course. They also have the church online platform you heard mentioned that is providing the website services for churches that want to do online ministry and online worship experiences. And then a number of other apps as well as resources, both teaching and visual things that they have rolled out already and continue to roll out in order to serve and equip churches and church leaders and even individuals everywhere. So tremendous work that LifeChurch.tv is doing. Thank you for your generosity there, based in Oklahoma and now reaching the world in such a tangible way, if you will, through the opportunities we have here on the internet and the mobile, the digitally connected world. One of the things that really impresses me about LifeChurch.tv is just how they are so very digital, very generous, and very quality with everything that they do and release. And their latest rally cry is something they're calling irrational generosity, as the Digirati team make some readjustments, or as their Digirati team ramps up for another season of digital engagement and continues to share generously all that they are able to produce and equip the church. So thank you, LifeChurch.tv. And here at SocialMediaChurch.net, we would love to hear from you. So click through to our website at SocialMediaChurch.net. And choose your favorite channel of engagement, whether that's Twitter or Facebook or even email. And we've got a voicemail number set up here at 9493-543-216. And you can dial in and leave a message that we can incorporate into a future episode so that you can literally join the conversation here at socialmediachurch.net. Where we want to be a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. So however it is that you're using it, whether it is online worship or pastoring or just facilitating communication within your church body and even engaging the conversations that are already happening in your local community or even around the world, we would love to hear your stories. So connect with us whichever way you would like. And if there's some other way that we're not yet connected on, some other social media channel that you're pretty active on,
not just by yourself, but you have a community there, please let me know and invite me in. I would love to join your conversation as well. And this wraps up another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and until the next episode, we'll stay connected with you online.